Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. I have been asked to look at definitions in other arms treaties and how they might be relevant with regard to autonomous weapons. So I will take as my point of departure legal definitions, or definitions that determines the object of a prohibition or regulation, although I realize that at this point it is not entirely clear what will be the purpose of a definition of lethal autonomous weapon system. So I will start by looking at how the question of definitions have been approached in disarmament law more generally, and then look at some features of weapon definitions in these treaties. The first thing to note is that not all weapons categories regulated by an international instrument are explicitly or exhaustively defined in the instrument itself. For example, the NPT or the CTBT on nuclear weapons, they do not define nuclear weapons. Likewise, the Biological Weapons Convention does not define biological weapons. So the lack of definition does not necessarily imply that it is impossible to agree on measures to regulate this weapon. Second, the treaties that do contain specific definitions highlight different aspects of the weapon. All of them starts with a reference to the larger category or family of objects to which the weapon belongs. And then under this category, the definitions highlight different types of attributes or features that distinguish the weapon from the broader category. One fairly common distinguishing attribute is a description of the intended or actual functioning of the weapon. The Convention on Cluster Munitions, for example, definition defines a cluster munition by describing how the munitions are delivered. The Mine Ban Convention and Protocol 2 of the CCW define mines by describing how these munitions are detonated. And a key feature of the definition of an anti-personnel mine is that it is victim activated. If the mine functions through manual detonation, that someone other than the victim sets it off, then it falls outside of the definition of an anti-personnel mine. So this is with reference to the discussion on the man in the loop. Another example of a distinguishing feature in definition is effects. CCW Protocol 1 on blinding lasers, for example, says nothing about how the weapon functions, but it highlights the intended or actual effect of the weapon, which is permanent blindness. Protocol 3 in the CCW describe incendiary weapons as a weapon that causes burn injuries. Other treaties also uses this qualifier. For example, anti-personnel mines are designed to incapacitate, injure, or kill someone, and so on. Other attribute types seen in definitions included in the treaties mentioned above is the possible targets or victims of the effects of the weapon in question. The Mine Ban Treaty, for example, refers to one or more persons. The Chemical Weapons Convention refers to humans or animals, whereas the Convention on Environmental Modification Techniques refers to the natural environment, and so humans are not the target. Another possible feature or definitional attribute that might be especially relevant in a lethal autonomous weapon system context is the intended use of the weapon. And this is particularly interesting where there is a dual use potential. For example, a chemical weapon is defined as a toxic chemical that may temporarily or permanently incapacitate or kill a human being. In other words, strong painkillers or alcohol could be covered by this very wide definition, and thus the exceptions also have to be very extensive. In fact, chemical agents intended to be used for peaceful purposes, such as industrial, agricultural, research, medical, etc., and law enforcement, all of these uses of chemicals are explicitly exempt from the definition, leaving the prohibition to encompass use of chemical agents as a means of warfare. So that is one way of going about defining something which has great dual use potential. Another feature of definitions in armed treaties is that they sometimes refer to rules under international humanitarian law. And the most obvious case, of course, is this forum. The CCW framework makes it clear through its title of the Framework Convention that the protocols pertain to the prohibition against means and methods of warfare that lead to superfluous injury or unnecessary suffering, and also the prohibition on indiscriminate means of warfare. So in the CCW protocols themselves, these qualifiers are not contained in the definitions, but it is still clear that this reference to the two core rules under IHL is the very basis for this forum and for the protocols. In the Cluster Munitions Convention, the definition of cluster munitions contain a direct reference to international humanitarian law. In its Article 2C, where the exceptions to the wider category are listed, it says, and I quote, "a munition that, in order to avoid indiscriminate area effects and the risks posed by unexploded submunitions." And so it goes on. So these qualifiers pertain directly to the rule on distinction. Other arms treaties have references to international humanitarian law and humanitarian principles in their preambles, but not so much in the definitions. One of the key features in arms treaties, which is not strictly a part of the definitions, but is nevertheless very interesting with regard to autonomous weapons, is the scope of application. In other words, in what situations do the treaty apply? Now, the CCW, as we know, has a relatively limited scope of application. It applies only in armed conflict, and to some of the state party, it only applies in international armed conflict. Other arms treaties, on the other hand, for example, on biological, chemical weapons, the Mine Ban Convention and the Cluster Munitions Convention, apply in all circumstances, regardless of the classification of the situation. And so they do apply in situations that do not reach the threshold of armed conflict. So the issues regarding to what extent autonomous weapons may be used outside of an armed conflict for law enforcement purposes, for example, will be a key one. And the issue of application outside of armed conflict of autonomous weapons will have to be considered in light of this context in the CCW particularly. I would like to make one final point, and I see my time is quickly running out. It's more about the process than about the substantive elements of a definition, and I know some speakers have mentioned it before, but it concerns the timing of solving the definition issue in a multilateral process. And again, of course, I'm talking about legal definitions. But most international legal processes to ban or regulate specific weapons have started and proceeded without a clear definition of the objects to be regulated. Key definitions are typically among the very last issues to be settled in negotiations. And this shows that agreement on a definition of the object to be regulated is rarely a prerequisite for proceeding with negotiations. And I will end here, as my time is up.